This afternoon, I want to look in 1 Peter and chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. I want you to envision something in your mind. You've heard the stories many times of somebody has some rich uncle, but he dies and he leaves them millions of dollars. But I want you to imagine that you know that you have a benefactor, that you know that you are the heir of something really big. This guy has got a massive, massive mansion. His bank account is filled with millions and millions and millions. He has all kinds of expensive artifacts, paintings, statues, and he dies. And you come in for the reading of that will. You've got some anticipation building up. You haven't been told officially that you're getting it all yet, but you know you have a pretty good idea. So the lawyer comes in, lays out the will, asks you to have a seat. There's a few other people there. You're hoping that this great benefactor gave them a little pittance here and a little bit there, but you know you're going to get this mansion, millions and millions of dollars and all this valuable stuff in it. So you sit still. You're ready. You're excited. And the lawyer opens the will and he says, "I hate to inform you, but the mansion has burned. All the paintings of it are gone. All the statues crumbled. And we see here that your benefactor was bankrupt. There's no money in this account. You are the heir of nothing. You're the heir of everything crumbled. What was, but nothing of value to you at all. And your hopes are dashed. You're upset. You're depressed. Because what you had been looking forward to for so long, that you knew of its value, you knew of the beauty, you knew of the magnitude of it, and all of a sudden it's just gone. But you had planned on it, you had hoped for it, you were the heir." Well, I want to talk to you about a different inheritance today. That you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are an heir of. But we heard that the mansions had burned and the money was gone and the artifacts were gone and the other will, but in this one does not fade. This one does not burn. This one does not crumble. It's as sure as the man who built it himself is sure, because that is God. So I want to look to the first, or not the first three, but three verses, 1 Peter 1, chapters 3, 4, and 5, and the title is called A Heavenly Inheritance. We read, "Blessed be the Father, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The first thing that we notice here is that we have been made alive to something. We are brought to a living, a lively hope. We have been made alive. We who were once dead, who were poor, were bankrupt, had nothing of our own, have been brought into such a hope that it is a lively hope. It's a living hope. And the reason that it's alive, the reason that it's living, is because it's not fixed on anything that is dead or decaying. It is fixed on the God of hope, the God who brought you from the state of spiritual death into a lively hope. And that's where our hope is in the God of this inheritance. We can't bank on our own works. Our own works won't get us anywhere. Our own works do not bring us into the kingdom of God. Our good deeds do nothing for us. It's nothing here on this earth, because everything in this earth is temporal. It fades. It goes away. It's here one day and it's gone the next. But our hope is not in anything of this earth. My hope is not in me. It's not in something that I might be good enough to do. My hope is not in my parenting, as we heard this morning. My hope is not in my willingness even to obey God. My hope is in God Himself and what God Himself has done for me. Because my deeds will not gain me an inheritance. My goodness, all the good that I can do, does not bring me any closer into ownership in that kingdom. Only the God of that kingdom can make you an heir of His kingdom. You can't write yourself into a rich man's will. He must do it. He puts you in the will. He calls you an heir. He gives you your inheritance. He tells you what will be yours. It has nothing to do with the one receiving, but everything to do with the one who is giving. And that is where our hope lies. And that's why it's a lively hope, because it's fixed on Him, not on dead works, not on dead desires, not on anything of this earth, but solely on Him. It's fixed on Christ. Our living hope is because we have a living Christ. It's on His person, His blood. It's on the righteousness of Jesus Christ that I am sure that I am an heir in heaven. So sure that I know when that will is read that that mansion still stands, that the coffers are full, that all that is of any value is sure because it rests upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not on me. Not on anything we've done, but on Him and Him alone, Jesus Christ alone. How miserable it must be to walk this earth hoping and wishing, but never knowing what my future state will be. Every unconverted person is a hopeless creature. Absolutely hopeless, because whatever they pretend to be in this world, whatever they hope will come in this world, it's false. It fades without the hope of Jesus Christ in them. Because when you take the living hope of why we have that hope in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we set the righteousness of Christ aside, we're fooling ourselves. And we must be in a miserable state, because I know that there's nothing good enough in Titus that can draw me closer to God. I know that the only thing that calls me an heir of the kingdom is the very righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. And without that hope, I would be a miserable, miserable creature. Because I would be wishing in something that I know will fade away. Wishing in something that I know is not true. And wishing in something that will crumble. Whatever inheritance the unconverted hopes for, it's ultimately that empty coffer, that burnt down mansion, the ashes and the crumbs of what was left. That's what the unconverted is hoping in. That's all that they will receive. But when you have a hope in Jesus Christ, it's a lively hope because it's living inside of you, because He brought you from what was death. And He has made you alive through Jesus Christ to live in Him now. I'm not waiting till I get in heaven to be lively in Christ. He lives in us now. And that is a lively hope, because we can go forward in this life through the trials, through the struggles, because I know what my end is. I know what waits at the end for me. And that is where I draw my strength and my hope. And that is our lively hope, to live in Jesus Christ now, today. All of us that are begotten to a new spiritual life, we're begotten into this new and spiritual hope. So what is this new hope? What is it that we're looking for? This hope is looking forward to the inheritance of Jesus Christ, which is in verse 4. Heaven is the undoubted inheritance of all the children of God. The story at the beginning, there's doubt there. Yes, He says, I'm going to receive this, but then He just gets there to only realize that there is no mansion. There is no money. There's nothing. But with God, we know that our inheritance has no doubt. Everyone that is born again We all have that inheritance and we all have that lively hope in who Jesus Christ has made us to be, because we are something to God. We are His children. And when we are His children, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, if children, then heirs. We are an heir to the eternal kingdom of God, because God Himself has called you His child. He has called you His child. He has begotten you. You were born to Him because He brought you to life, and He has called you His own. You're not some just small benefactor that's being read into the will and getting some small penance out of the great wealth. You're the heir of all the wealth of God through Jesus Christ. All of eternal heaven, all of the goodness of God, all the beauty of what will come belongs to you because He has called you His own. He has called you His child. And it is undoubted because the same God that created this earth, the same God that holds all things together in His hands in this very moment, the same God that brought you from a state of spiritual death to a state of spiritual life, this is the same God who has called you His own child. No man can tell Him no. No one can draw you away from Him, and no man can pluck you from His hands. When He has called you His child, you are for sure, undoubted, His heir to a kingdom that will not fade away. Because God has established that kingdom. That same God is the one who established the kingdom that we are destined for. And He has declared your inheritance into it. And that is sure. Because there's four factors of this inheritance that we see. The first in verse 4 is we are called and we are born into a lively hope to an inheritance which is incorruptible. It has no principles of dissolution or decay in it. There's nothing inside of it that can cause it to decay. Nothing. It is completely pure. It's free from corruption itself. The very essence of corruption has no place in it. It doesn't belong and it cannot creep in. It can't be corrupted by things. It can't be corrupted by moth or rust. None of those outside things can corrupt the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God. Gold and silver fade, garments fade, get thin and go away. But those are all part of this earthly life that we live. There is no incorruption. Nothing can be corrupted in His kingdom. Man cannot corrupt His kingdom. Things can't corrupt it. Man cannot corrupt it. Man who has no power over it. We, people, have no power over the kingdom of God. Nothing. And we have no access to that kingdom to be heirs with Jesus Christ outside of Jesus Christ. There is no entering into His kingdom for being a good man. There is no entering into the kingdom of God for being a religious, devout person. Nothing of us, no religion, no adherence to every set of rules, nothing gains you entrance into that kingdom but by Jesus Christ. And that is why it is not corrupted, because Jesus guards the door. No man can enter into heaven but by the name of Jesus Christ, and therefore it is incorruptible. A devout Jew will not enter the kingdom. A devout Muslim will not enter the kingdom. An air quote Christian who shows up to church and obeys a lot of laws but does not have Jesus Christ as his master cannot enter into that kingdom. You are not an heir if you're in that. But if you are in Jesus Christ, if you belong to Him, if He has opened your eyes and you follow Him, you are an heir. And that's why His kingdom cannot be corrupted. Because only those who are as pure as Christ, because you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it washes away all corruption, all sin, all filth, all ungodliness is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is your entrance into this incorruptible kingdom, because you cannot carry the stains with you, because Jesus has washed them away from you. This kingdom will not be enjoyed by corrupt people. It also won't be inherited by frailty or mortality. There is no death in His kingdom. There is no frailty in His kingdom. But aren't we frail and mortal people? Yes, we are. But in 1 Corinthians 15:53, He says, "For their corruptible must put on incorruption." We must be made like Christ. We must be as Christ is. Yes, this earthly body will fade and die, but my eternal soul is washed in the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. And I know that one day that body will meet that incorruptible soul, and we will be made new, a new creature, without death, without blemish, without frailty, without aches, without pain, without tears, without death. And we will be brought forever into that incorruptible kingdom of God. Corruption is simply a change from better to worse. But heaven is without any change and without any end. This house, this mansion that we are destined to is eternal. It is in the heavens. And we as the possessors will live forever in it as those corruptible putting on incorruption. Then we see that this inheritance is not just incorruptible, but it is completely undefiled. Nothing impure can enter, and nothing impure can exist in it. It's free from the very nature of sin itself. Not just the sins, but the very nature of sin. That happened in the beginning when Adam and Eve separated from the presence of God. That nature of sin was poured upon them, and all of us, because we are all of Adam, have that very nature of sin. It's not just talking about the deeds won't be present in heaven, but that nature is gone. It is no more. It has been defeated. It has been conquered. There is no nature of sin in this undefiled inheritance that we wait for. How I long for that. Because I struggle with sin right now. I feel sin with me. I feel the temptations. I fall prey to my sins. I long for that day when it has no hold, because there is no existence of even the very nature of it in that incorruptible, undefiled, eternal heaven. That will be beautiful. It'll be wonderful. I won't have the temptations. We won't have that lion that Brother Mike told us this morning trying to pounce out. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore in our inheritance. Sin, misery, they're the two grand defilements that spoil this world now. Sin is the stain of this world. Rejection of God is the defilement of this world. They mar the beauty of what God created in the Garden of Eden. They twist it. They turn it into something unnatural. And they have no place in the uncorruptible, undefiled kingdom of God. Sin has no home there. It has no way to enter. And then continuing on, we are brought to this lively hope, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. It cannot wither. It's like a flower that would always be in bloom, But we see the flowers come and we see them go. We see the green leaves turn brown and fall to the ground. And then in the spring, we see the buds and the leaves come back. Death is a cycle here. Death happens here. Things fade away. These garments I'm wearing now will fade away one day. Everything will fade away, but the kingdom of God does not fade. Even a strong stone castle that can last for hundreds and hundreds of years, even that stone and granite begin to fade and begin to crumble. They cannot stand forever. The substance of everything here in this earth crumbles and fades away. People fade away. Empires, dynasties, they totter and they fall. They don't last forever. Corruption creeps into our lives. And even if there's a good empire, say you had a great dynasty full of good men, man after man after man leading the people, even they, the good men, that kingdom will fade away. It is not eternal. Only God. Only God and only the attributes of God and who He is are eternal. With no beginning and no end. But we know that this earth is destined for an end. We know that our bodies here on this earth are destined for an end. Our souls here on this earth are destined for an end. But we know that our souls move on from this earth to something that does not fade away into that eternal kingdom of God that stands forever. But our inheritance, the inheritance of the people of God, we have nothing in that inheritance that will fade. And when you are in Jesus Christ, when He has called you His own, you know that you will never fade away. Because your spirit is in His hands. He has written you there. And He will hold you. And He will take you to His kingdom forever. Job 27 verse 8 says, "The hypocrite and his hope expire and die both together." Nothing lasts forever unless it's established by God. So we see that it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fades not away. But here's a beautiful thought. It is reserved in heaven for you. Now the people at the beginning of the story, they had a will reserved for them. But their will faded. What was in the will? The mansion's gone, the money's gone, the paintings are gone, the statues are gone. There's nothing there, but we have something reserved that cannot fade because it cannot be defiled and it cannot be corrupted. But what is this telling us? That it's reserved in heaven for us. The first thing you need to note is that it's not expected to be here on earth. Sin is here. Sadness is here. Pain is here. Sorrow is here. You will not find heaven here on earth. You won't find the perfect church here on earth. It doesn't exist. It's not there. You may find a godly church who is striving to serve God, but is still full of people. Sin is still present in our world and even in churches. So we cannot expect our church to be our eternal heaven. It is reserved, held safe for you and for me. The heir of an earthly estate has no assurance, none, that they'll even live to enjoy the inheritance. Say that mansion never burned, and the money was there, and the statues and the paintings. But the person who was the heir, expecting the will, still had no assurance that they would live long enough to see it. But the heirs of heaven, we know know beyond a shadow of doubt that we will be conducted safely to our inheritance. Because, this next phrase, because you are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. He is not just guarding you, He's guarding that inheritance. He's guarding His kingdom and all who are His heirs. We're kept by God's power. That means, this word actually means to protect by a military guard, either to prevent hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. God is guarding you because He will not lose you. And God is guarding your inheritance because it is His kingdom. It is His home. And you are His heirs. You are His child. And He is guarding you like a protective father that will not let His guard down, that will not fall asleep, that will not lay His weapons aside because He has set His heart on you and He will not lose you. We are kept by His power. The true disciples of Christ are under a continual, careful watch of God. And our inheritance is guarded for us. Being kept implies that there's both a danger and there's a deliverance. That danger is you may be attacked, but rest assured you will not be overcome. We may fall sometimes, but we will never be ultimately overcome by the power of sin. Because Jesus Christ has put that to death on the cross for His people. We will face the struggles, but we will never be fully overcome and consumed and controlled and owned by sin again. Because we have one master, and that is Jesus Christ. We know that we are being kept and protected by those attacks of Him, of Satan that comes. But we know that God is watching over us. And He has a tender care for His people. That He not only gives us grace, but He also preserves us and keeps us safe in Him. The greatness of the work of God, the number of enemies that are out there, the sin that is out there, I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep myself safe. I can't keep my children safe from sin. Only God can bring them into His eternal kingdom and hold them safe. Only God can hold me safe and only God can hold you safe. It's too big of a job for me. It is too big of a job for you. Only the greatness of God is up to such a task. We cannot keep ourselves. He doesn't have the angels to keep us eternally. This is Jesus' role. Because He holds you in His hands. And all that the Father has given Him, He will not let a one go. This job is so important that Jesus has taken it Himself and He will not lose. He is our foundation. He is our strong hope. But what is the cause? What is the cause of our hope in this inheritance? And what is the cause of this inheritance? Go back to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no inheritance. There is no eternal home. But by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are made alive. You are brought to a lively hope. And you can rest assured that you are being kept. Because the power of God, of Jesus Christ Himself, raised Himself from the dead. And that same power is what He holds you in His hand with. And what He guards the doors of heaven with. That same power of resurrection is the power that He brought you to life with, and the power that He is indwelling you with now through the Holy Spirit. The same power of the resurrected Savior. That is the cause, the ultimate cause of our lively hope, the ultimate cause of our being kept, and the ultimate cause of knowing we have a heavenly inheritance. Because we, His people, we have been crucified with Him. We are buried with Him. And we are resurrected with Him. Romans chapter 6, 4 through 6 says, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's the living hope. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, the sinful nature, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We are owned by our Savior. We are safe in His keeping, and He will take us assuredly to His kingdom that does not fade away. Psalm 104:31 says, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. His kingdom shall endure forever. We shall worship His glory forever in that heavenly inheritance. This inheritance is prepared for all of His people. But its glories will not be revealed to us until that last time, until we are done with this life, till we have passed on. And then we shall see fully, fully the glory of who God is. Take comfort in knowing that you are God's heir. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, God calls us His own possession. In chapter 2, verse 11, He says that we're aliens, we're strangers. Take comfort in knowing that you're not of this world, that this is not your home, that you have an eternal inheritance in Him. Know that your inheritance is not an empty coffer when that will is read. It's not full of IOUs. It's not a crumbled mess of what used to be grand. But it's the very kingdom of God Almighty itself, reserved, kept for you. And that is where your hope, that is what gives you that lively hope, to know that it is sure. Rest assured in the power of God. The same power that brought you to life is the same power that will hold you for all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that we have